T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yes, indeed. Happy holidays. Welcome to December. Welcome to December football. I'm telling you, the 49ers, the only thing they didn't do was win that game. Pretty good football game. About as entertaining as a day on a football couch can get. Unfortunately, they come up a little bit short, but this three-game gauntlet of big-time football tests been pretty good on it so far. There's no doubt about that. We've got an hour for you today before we hand things over to Matt Kolsky and John Dickinson. They've got Warriors Live coming up in an hour from now. The Warriors are taking on the Atlanta Hawks.
It is
the Chelsea Handler revenge game. So we will have all of that for
Chelsea
you.
Chelsea Handler.
Sorry, Chelsea.
That'd be a very different look.
It would. I screwed up the joke. Anyways, it's good to be here.
Well, no, we just didn't want you to hang there and get grief on the text line.
Yeah, it was coming, I'm sure. Guys, good to see you. Ray, Matt, happy Thanksgiving. Hope
yeah.
Everyone's good. Everyone good?
As far as I'm going
to
be.
Nice. Good. We're all back to normal then. It is a Monster Monday brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. Dolan's Lumber Windows and Doors. Our number is 888-957-9570. Again, we're off the air in 58 minutes from right now, which means we are not having any guests for you today, but we do have open lines to talk about what happened yesterday in Baltimore. Obviously, it was a bad day of Raider football, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But look, 49ers didn't win that game. I was surprised by four things. First, obviously, the much-discussed clock management at the end of the first half. They were discussing it in real time on the broadcast. One of the other things that surprised me of that game was that Kyle Juszczyk didn't get a single target, a catch, a carry. I thought on a day where conditions screamed, you might see our fullback, especially one who's usually got a razzle-dazzle play up his sleeve. Didn't see a big play out of Juszczyk. I didn't like the fourth and short call. You're averaging 6 yards a run. You're lining up in shotgun. I think taking away a little mystery of what you're trying to do there. And ultimately, it's the Baltimore Ravens winning that game because I think they were just a little bit better at knowing who they are than the 49ers do. And look, as I tweeted yesterday, Kyle Shanahan as a coach is worth his weight in gold. But that might have been the one game where he wasn't the guy making the right call throughout the game. I don't know. I felt like if an awful lot of the 49ers' success has to do with Kyle Shanahan calling the right play, whether or not he's got the right guy to run it, I thought yesterday the execution was on and maybe the coaching was just a spot off.
I don't know. The thing that jumped out at me is that there are two things that Baltimore has that the 49ers don't have and aren't going to have. One, they have the better quarterback who no one has an answer for. And on a dry field, he might have been even better.
Mm-hmm.
And by a significant margin. The other thing they have is Justin Tucker, who is the best kicker in football and has been for about 5 years now. And they're relatively equal in about everything else, I think. But in those two areas, Baltimore has a significant advantage that only injury can take away, which makes coaching and everything else not irrelevant, but less important. Because if you can't stop Lamar Jackson, and all they really have to do in a close game is get to the 30, that gives them an enormous advantage over everybody else.
That's all true, but I think putting it that way somewhat belies the fact that this was significantly the best defensive performance against the Ravens this season.
Big time.
And, all they had to do was get to the 30 in a tie game, but it was a tie game at 17. I mean, that was an accomplishment by the Niners. This, to me, was a game that featured several accomplishments, if not a win. And I think that there's something to be said for that. And I think I just have to remind everybody, 2 weeks ago, we sat here and said 2-1 in this three-game stretch would be excellent. And the best way to do it would be to lose the middle one in Baltimore.
Regardless of the easy to understand information of you won the football game, which sort of, you know, clears up all the mystery of what really happened on a day, even though that's not always where, you know, I feel you can make the Niners in defeat answered more questions about whether or not they can win a Super Bowl than they did in some of their wins.
Agreed.
I thought yesterday was a good day in a loss, and obviously you don't want losses to stack up because here's the deal. As good as the Niners are this year, there's a very good chance that they could be on the road to start the playoffs. If that's the case, I feel better about that actually having to happen because they were as in a game with the Ravens. They slowed down the hardest one-off football team in all of football.
And they came out at 10 a.m. and rolled out hot against a tough defense in a tough, wet environment on the road at 10 a.m. That's an accomplishment as well.
And I tell you, as great as that Deebo Samuel catch was on 4th-and-2 that was the opening score on the opening drive, it might have instilled the wrong idea a little bit later on into Kyle Shanahan to call a pass play on 4th-and-1. Again, Raheem Mostert was a revelation, and I don't know how long he'll continue to produce like this, but man, he looked like Walter Mostert yesterday. I mean, he was phenomenal.
He has, I mean, look, there are reasons he's not, there are reasons it's taken him this long to be elevated and this many injuries to be elevated to a spot where he's getting 19 carries in a game. That being said, his burst is undeniable. I mean, there were some huge holes for him yesterday and that helps. He has an exceptional burst through the hole. He is surprisingly fast.
But the thing that downgraded him early was not his burst.
It's his
hands.
Which
everybody acknowledged over and over again. It is his hands.
Yep.
And I think one of the things about the NFL is, and it's always been true, is eventually your hands are going to come back and bite you in the ass, which is an interesting visual, I grant you. But I think there is a point where the weather's going to be bad, and his hands are going to come into question again, which is why you may not see this again. It is pretty clear, though, that people are on to Tevin Coleman, and they're defending him that way. Breida is still kind of not much of a factor. And so the 49ers, who had depth at running back, don't really. They just have enough good running backs that a guy can break out because they know how to block for the run. I mean, there were, as good as his burst is, there were holes there for him.
Huge.
And I'm not trying to downgrade anything he did, because that's a number against a very good defense. But the 49ers have established that they can run pretty much against anybody they want to, unless that other team is willing to put so many guys in the box that they're not going to bother with pass defense.
And I think teams are a little less interested in doing that after the last few Jimmy Garoppolo performances. And I'm not saying by any stretch he was great yesterday, but he once again made a few throws that are going to make people question just throwing 8-9 guys in the box and all out committing against the run.
Basically, the last 3 weeks was him forcing teams to play the 49ers honest.
Right.
Which means you can't shut out everything they want to do, but you can shut out half of it sometimes. And yesterday is not that example. Yesterday, they played very well, but I think it is clear that Baltimore is better because they have the two things that in playoff football matter more than anything else, which is a quarterback who scares you and a kicker who is an ATM.
I think that's right. It's those two positions that elevate the Ravens over the Niners right now.
And John Harbaugh is a superb head coach.
He's great. He's great.
I mean,
but I'm not sure he's better than Kyle Shanahan.
No, know? But he's a superb Super Bowl champion, been there, done that. I can close a tight game with the best of them head coach.
As even-keeled and sort of calm in the moment as about any head coach you'll see.
Yeah, he really is. Look, the Ravens are a very, very good football team. when I walk away from that game, and I know a lot of people might be hearing this and going, well, man, there's some excuses being made for a team that is not being measured against its four loss, who they used to be, but is now more being measured against the real-time football situation that they're in. I hear you. So let's just look at the vacuum of the real-time football situation that they're in. They've got a three-game stretch here, which is yada, 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 one of the toughest three-game stretches in regular season football history. You can look it up. You can Google that. It's a fact. The good news is that you have given up 209 passing yards total the last two games.
Against two really good quarterbacks.
A future first ballot Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers and the guy who was this year's front-running MVP. Guys, we have already admitted the show is bad at math, but 105 plus 104 equals 209. I didn't even need to whip out the calculator for that one.
Good
That's
job.
An amazing.
Congratulations, you nailed down that third grade math problem.
It's an amazing number.
It is a remarkable number, though.
Would you like to elaborate on what makes that a remarkable number, or do you just want to clink glasses with the point I made?
No, I think they dominated a team that they are better than in Green Bay. We thought Green Bay mattered more than they do, but Green Bay is a team that can be defended. They don't have anybody that really scares you except Aaron Rodgers' reputation. And their defense is ordinary to subordinary. So that if you have the ball, you can make them get into a track meet, and if your offense is good enough, they can't keep up. Baltimore was the test. And they passed all but two things. Well, I wouldn't say pass. They basically played Baltimore even, except for the quarterback and the kicker.
And really, the quarterback was... Yeah, Lamar Jackson was the best quarterback on the field yesterday, but if not for the kicker, maybe that's a win. And boy, does Justin Tucker matter. That guy, he's excellent. He's both one of the most trustworthy kickers and one of the biggest legs in the league. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that Greg Zuerlein got the nickname.
Right. Yeah.
Like Justin Tucker, I mean, he literally, you put your card in, you get all your money back.
Yeah.
It's just as simple as that. And he plays in a far more difficult environment.
He really does. It's like being a great kicker at Heinz Field or something.
Exactly. And Heinz, look, the Steelers have had their own share of good kickers. The difference is that Tucker is a good kicker from 55. He's a great kicker from 55 in. Beyond 55, he's good. And nobody else is.
The last 4 years, so 2016, 17, 18, and then this year, Justin Tucker is a combined 21 for 25 from more than 50 yards.
And since we're talking field goal kickers, you know, Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould is just, it's all heading in the wrong direction at the wrong time. And I don't know if that ball was tipped at the line. You want to say that's on the line. That's on the kicker. That's trajectory. That was makeable distance from a guy who couldn't get it to the back of the E in the word Ravens. He missed by about 7 yards short. And I don't know if Robbie is the guy to take the war anymore. I mean, that's how rattled as I am. He's not having an off year. He's not having a bad stretch. He's gone from good to he sucks. He's putting up he sucks percentages.
I mean, that was touched. It doesn't mean it's not his fault. But it's not like he doesn't have the leg to get it 49 yards. He does. But you're right,
like
that it has not been good.
Yeah, kick and wet footballs happened a lot in his career.
Yeah, and it's tough because I think even if I ask you, I'm with you. I don't feel great about Robbie Gould, but do you trust Chase Winovich more?
I don't know if it's more.
Or Chase McLaughlin.
Right, sorry. Who's Chase Winovich?
He plays for the Patriots.
Sorry. Chase McLaughlin more.
I was just going to throw out he's a Winnipeg Jet. And everyone would have believed this. 888-957.
I would not have known the name if he was a Winnipeg Jet.
I'm not convinced how many kickers in football kick well under those conditions. I think the Ravens have one of the two. And the other one doesn't kick in bad weather that often.
Yeah, my problem is Robbie's not kicking well in any condition.
Yeah, it has not been limited to yesterday, and I think that's the issue.
But yesterday I throw out And again, Chase McLaughlin's not making that field goal either.
No, and that's the problem. And here's the thing. If you roll with Robbie Gould and he misses and it turns out he is in decline, then you move on next year. If you roll with Chase McLaughlin and he misses, then you're the idiot that cut Robbie Gould so you could test a rookie in a playoff season. And I don't think you can do that.
No, this is one of those positions where they're not gonna be at a significant disadvantage except against these guys.
Yeah. Well, but it's not even necessarily about comparing kickers. It's about, do you trust that guy to make the big kick when he needs to? And right now you can certainly say you trust Robbie Gould less today than you have at any point in his Niners career.
Yeah, my answer for both guys is not too much.
Yeah, and that's not great.
Especially since one of them is making about $5 million.
Yeah.
The money's not important. The fact is there are positions you just have to eat it, and that's one of them.
And you gladly would if he was having a more consistent season.
Yeah. 49ers did a better job of hanging with what I think is the hardest one-off football team in the NFL, having to prepare for the Ravens, which is, it's like preparing for a wishbone offense or Air Force. You don't see that anywhere else. It's hard to practice against. It's hard to prepare for. They're good. But the Niners did a better job of hanging with a very difficult prep team on the road, 10 a.m., in terrible conditions. And I think they've proven that they can play with absolutely anyone, anywhere, anytime, any field. That's good because, again, the playoff run might have to start on the road. And that brings us to tonight. This is a huge Monday Night Football game in terms of who's going where come postseason. A monster Vikings-Seahawks game tonight up in Seattle.
What's funny is it's not. It seems like it is. I mean, it does.
When you said it was, what you meant to say was.
Well, because it's obvious. Look at it. It's Seattle at, 9-2, and the Vikings at 8-3. They're both in the playoff hunt. They're playing against each other. It has to matter, and it does generally. But to the Niners, it matters less than you would think. Because ultimately, for the Niners, it's going to be about what they do. Do they beat the Seahawks in the last week of the year? And if things go to plan, that's where it's going to come down to. Because whether or not the Seahawks win tonight, they'll still have the opportunity to take the division from the Niners in Week 17.
What if I sold you this? The Seahawks lose twice before the end of the year.
Sure, then that's easy. That's great. But I'm just saying, if they lose tonight,
an opportunity, and then there's maybe another loss somewhere else out there. It's a big game.
You're right. It's not that it's not a big game. It's just that it has less impact on playoff seeding than you'd imagine. Because
Rams just won 34-7.
The Rams could beat them, and the Rams could beat the Niners, and the Saints could beat the Niners. But I think if we all picked who's going to win what for the Seahawks and Niners the rest of the season, the games with the biggest question marks after tonight are when they play each other. Because I expect the Seahawks to handle the Rams, Panthers, and Cardinals. I just do. And while New Orleans is a tougher game than any of those, I certainly expect the Niners to handle the Falcons and Rams. So if you're the team you think you are, and that's what I don't totally understand about Niner fans who are disappointed today after what we saw yesterday. Maybe that's not right. I understand a level of disappointment. I don't understand being upset. Because
right.
That's a brutal circumstance, and you showed up as well as you can without getting a win. And if you're the team you think you are, if you're the team you showed us the last 2 weeks against the Packers and Ravens, then you should beat everybody left on your schedule, and you'll be the number one seed. No worries.
But fans don't think that way.
Fair enough.
They demanded that their team prove they were better than Baltimore, and now they've been confronted with the evidence. Now, what can they do? They can either say, well, Baltimore's better, and here's why, or they can do what fans do and go, well, Shanahan screwed up the clock management, and Garoppolo's always going to throw an interception and come up with 9 other reasons why this was an affront to the dignity of all mankind, when, in fact, the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in football right now.
Yeah, I think that's right.
They probably are the best football team from here on out, because I don't know who can beat them. I've started to come to the realization, and this was even before last night, that the Patriots can't move the ball anymore.
No.
That without Rob Gronkowski, they have maybe one passing target. They are now that worst of things, a good team that is one-dimensional.
And Brady is no longer the guy who can overcome that. Because 5 years ago, okay, you have one passing target. Tom Brady's going to make it work. But
I don't know that he's ever had one passing target, though.
They won a Super Bowl with Deion Branch as their best receiver.
But back then, they had other weapons. I mean, this is the one time. Who's their great running back? They don't have one. Who's their great wide receiver?
You're right.
It's the blessed Mohamed Sanu.
This is probably worse.
And that's where not having Rob Gronkowski is now just painfully evident. Because they not only don't have a tight end to replace him, they don't have anybody to replace him. He was the go-to guy. He was their Kittle. The difference is the 49ers went out and got somebody who could take the load off Kittle and then developed somebody else who could take the load off Kittle. They now have three legitimate receiving weapons.
And the Patriots got Mohamed Sanu, who has not yet been particularly good. And their draft pick, N'Keal Harry, has been a huge disappointment if you compare him to guys like Debo and DK Metcalf.
I mean, the fact is the one guy that you can guard is the 32-year-old Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
And if they don't have another target, he can't play. Because all of his good years in Atlanta came with Julio Jones on the other side of the ball. That's a nice deal. That's way better than a suspension.
888-957-9570. Jaime, San Pablo, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, being a diehard Niners fan, I really don't care if we don't win the division. If we want to win it, going all the way, wild card. I'll take the wild card. I don't care. I'll go to Dallas and beat Dallas. Whoever it takes. I believe in the Niners team. Yesterday, it proved to me that we could go anywhere and win a game.
We've seen wild card teams win Super Bowls. It happens, but it's not about the easier path. That's all it is. You just want the easier path. Do you want to have to win four games in the playoffs or three?
It's the same thing we go through with the tanking for draft pick argument. The fifth pick doesn't guarantee you a great player, but it's always better to have the fifth than the tenth. Like, it's not. Sure, you can win from the wild card position, and yes, I agree with Jaime mostly. The biggest thing that he said that I think is dead on is yesterday was a game where, regardless of result, you proved this is a team that can go on the road in a tough environment and compete like hell and potentially win. And that is probably more meaningful to me than the losses.
I didn't think that was in question. I thought they had established that.
That's by far the best team they've played on the road.
Yeah, but they performed as I would have expected them to.
I mean, you saw the Bengals picked up a win yesterday, right?
That's my mistake. You're right. That Bengals team is pretty
tough.
They are pretty tough.
No, I think that, Baltimore, again, has the two things nobody else has.
Yeah.
And barring an injury, that's an advantage that I don't think many teams are going to be able to overcome unless you see an extraordinary effort on the other side of the ball.
Well, they also have a sweetheart schedule, depending on what you think of the Bills, I guess. They do have to go to Buffalo.
Isn't some sort of new trend in the game.
And you're saying ran the ball, like running play out of the shotgun.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if they were going
to the Super Bowl favorites right now.
888-957-9570. Ange in Oakland, a card-carrying Ravens fan. Hello, Ange.
Hey, man, I'm out here with my sunglasses on and an umbrella trying to keep all the sunshine off of me after yesterday's game. Let me tell the Niners fans something. Stop saying that they prove that they can go anywhere and win. You don't prove that you can go anywhere and win unless you go somewhere and win. If you go somewhere and lose, you just prove that you could go somewhere and lose. You might have played a good game, but you still lost. Y'all prove that y'all could go somewhere and lose. That's about it. I ain't bragging on the Ravens because I still ain't convinced. I think the defense could be suspect. They could be had. And if number 24 don't want to tackle, a lot more teams going to be getting a lot more touchdowns on.
Ange, I hear you. You know, it makes a great T-shirt. If you didn't win, you lose, and all that stuff. And there is absolutely an element to everything you said has some truth to it. Yes, you're right.
But if that's all it was, we wouldn't do this.
Exactly. There is more to it than you just lost a game. I mean, you lost a game. And I think that Robert Saleh made one tactical error yesterday. I think they should have taken every single play fake from Lamar Jackson and thrown it out the window and tackled Lamar Jackson like a running back all damn day when they had the opportunity to, until it was, hey, diddle diddle, Ingram up the middle for a 45-yard busted on you. I would have just sold out. I wouldn't have bought on a single play fake. I would have said, don't buy anything. If they go down the field on a sequence of 15 consecutive roughing the passer calls, we're cool with it.
First of all, they may have said that.
By the way, it's a lot easier to say than do.
And right, that's
did,
the thing.
And they did go out of their way to hit him a lot, sometimes late, and they didn't have a problem doing that. I think the problem is Lamar Jackson's better than all of that.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, too. I would be shocked. Now, you know, they probably didn't put it in quite the terms you just did, but I'd be shocked if making sure Lamar doesn't have the ball on play fakes wasn't a huge emphasis this week. And I just think he's really good at it. And the fact that what we saw yesterday was, again, by far the best defensive performance pretty much against this team, that's telling.
And let me just say this before we take a real quick break. We got a full hour for you today, one whole glorious hour before we get you out to Warriors Live coming up at 3 o'clock. The 49ers yesterday got a really good game out of Fred Warner. Dre Greenlaw, I think, played way over his own skis and continues to prove that the depth of this team is showing you something. That's good, because I thought that was going to be a sore spot. I thought, man, this is a big game for the linebackers, and if they get ripped apart, it's going to be there. They didn't get ripped apart. Like, Lamar was good. He wasn't, I mean, if those were his averages, he ain't even in the MVP conversation. Like, get the hell out of here. You know, like, they did a really good job defending a guy that is very, very hard to defend. And they did it pretty much all game long. And I mean, look at it this way.
If I told you this is the Super Bowl matchup, and I tell you the Ravens have the exact same offensive performance, would you take it?
Yes.
Exactly.
100%. Niners producing defensively like that. Garoppolo doesn't fumble. You play for a three. You play more aggressively, not so conservatively at the end of a half.
Yep.
You stay to who you really are on fourth and short. Things could have been different. 888-957-9570. Much more coming up when we come on back. We got you at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game on a Monster Monday. By the way, we are brought to you by the Golden State Warriors. Make a splash on all things basketball. Save with no ticket fees on Warrior games. Receive up to 30% off of Warriors gear. Free shipping on orders of over $29 and 20% off youth basketball camp sessions. This offer ends tonight at 10 p.m. Warriors.com. They got their Cyber Monday thing going on as well. We got a Monster Monday thing. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Our goal is to, I mean, we'd love to score, but we're going to make sure we work that clock. Now, we were short on the field goal. I think it got a little tipped from what I saw. I'm not totally sure to see the film, but I mean, when you're short on the field goal, I wish we got closer. So we're not short on the field goal, but I mean, no, I forget what we started on. I want to say we were pretty far back there. We wanted to eat up the clock, and once we got into a minute, to push it a little bit, and that's exactly what we did, and we didn't get enough chunk plays there at the end, but we're just happy in the half of the field goal. Just wish we made it.
Kyle Shanahan talking about the end of the first half play calling that left them a little bit short of the field goal that Robbie missed, and I understand not wanting to give Lamar Jackson any time to beat you on a quick possession going the other way to end the half, but I think you start killing clock when you're on the other side of the 50. He started trying to kill clock on the wrong side of the 50.
I have it right here. I pulled up the play-by-play because I think it's super interesting, and I think he found a nice way to be honest there without exactly admitting the mistake he made. And the mistake he made is very straightforward. It's what you just said. They had the ball, first and 10 at their own 25. Big play, 19-yard run for Mostert, right? Next play, there was an illegal block by Emmanuel Sanders that ended them up at first and 20 from their own 34.
I think that's the play that got Shanahan conservative.
Exactly. Because they were in first and 20, there's a minute 20 left at that point, and he says, you know what? We got to be smart here and run the football. They run it for 8 yards, so you're second and 12 at the 42, and that's when he said,
"Huddle.
I don't trust myself. I don't trust my offense enough. I need to run it down." And honestly, I think if he runs it down to 45 seconds there, they get a field goal. But he ran it all the way to 29. And it was, it's a difference of 10 or 15 seconds to me, because ultimately they just came up ever so short, and they could have gone for that fourth and one if there were 10 seconds left, 15 seconds left instead of 4 seconds. And maybe that's the difference that gets them the field goal.
Well, and this just jumps back to me about the many ways that Lamar Jackson affects the game.
That's right. He scares
Lamar Jackson was in Kyle Shanahan's head right there without even being on the field. That's another reason why he makes such a difference for the Ravens.
I think it's a great point.
He makes you either get too skittish or too bold, but it takes you out of what you would normally do against quarterbacks 3 through 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
Russell Wilson does the same thing. He makes you change how you do things because you're afraid of what he can do with no time on the clock.
Before we go back to the phone lines and 888-957-9570 is your number. 888-957-9570. The thing that, you know, we had Ange call last saying, look, if you lose, you lose. There's no such thing as a good loss. There's da, 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 da. We all agree that not all wins are created equal. Well, they weren't good enough. They weren't impressive enough. Hell, the Cleveland Browns won a game the other night, and everyone was talking about Myles Garrett swinging a helmet. Like, that wasn't a very good win. You know, wins are not all created equal. Why would we assume all losses are equal then? Like, there is a big difference in did you lose because the other team was just a little bit better and had the ball last and executed on their final possession, leaving you with nothing to play for because it was over? Or did you completely get outcoached and outplayed? Like yesterday, the Oakland Raiders got outcoached, outplayed. They were non-competitive through four quarters of football. And I'm not trying to compare and contrast these two. These are just different scenarios. I'm not making fun of anybody here. But that's non-competitive loss. The 49ers just posted an incredibly competitive loss in circumstances that make the equation even, I think, more impressive in its calculation.
Well, here's how you know you don't have to listen to those people. Is they're the same people that were more than willing to grade a win for the first 8 games of the season. None of those wins counted because of the opponent.
Right.
But
right.
This loss for sure counts. Opponent and situation and rain and 10 a.m. be damned. This counts. It's farcical.
Yeah, they held the most unique offense in football to its slowest day of the entire season.
Doesn't mean there were no mistakes made. Right. There were mistakes made.
Yeah.
That Baltimore made its share of mistakes.
Yes.
That's part of the deal. But people are now talking about the Patriots as though they benefited from an easy early schedule, which they did.
Yeah,
I mean, when you have an easy schedule, the good teams make use of that. That's one of the things about an uneven schedule that become important. The 49ers did not, unlike a college team, pick their opponents. All right? The opponents were presented to them at the end of last season. They're not in charge of this. Their job is simply to not lose. And we've reached the point now where what happened last year is now fully irrelevant. This is about the right now. And what they found out is that, which I thought we already knew, is that Baltimore's better. They now got to see why they're better and how they're better firsthand.
Would you say they're much better? I mean, it's maybe the chasm's not as wide as we thought it was before kickoff, right?
I think the chasm is wide, but not in a mathematical way. I think I didn't see a way that they can stop Lamar Jackson on any kind of field. And I saw the one weapon that they have that nobody else has, which is a kicker who's good from 55 in. And those are things that, unless you're trying to hurt people, you can't really take away. I haven't seen anybody take Lamar Jackson out of his preeminent role in a game yet. And we just talked about another way that he did that. So, yeah. I think...
But they did force two punts, a fumble, and a turnover on downs, which, again, is better...
I didn't say they played badly.
Right.
I think they played very well. That said, I don't... These are the two things that made Baltimore better.
Yes.
I think are the two things that will make them better if they played an infinite number of times. And they might win 40% of those infinite number of games. But I'd bet... If I had to bet with a gun at my head... And I think we all agree that's a good scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I'd bet Baltimore every time willing to lose 40% of the time.
But okay, and here maybe is the point that I think is relevant just in terms of what yesterday means. You wouldn't bet them to cover 6.5.
I think on a drier field, I might.
Really? All right, I wouldn't.
I think that in whatever ways the weather might have affected the 49ers, they affected Baltimore in the same way. And I think, you know...
But that would be more in the pass game than the run, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think Baltimore makes their pass game better because Lamar Jackson is equal parts pass and run.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the outlier that makes coaches crazy. And I think that's why analyzing this game as a... Here's how much they're better than, can be maddening. I mean, I think on a normal field, a neutral field, I think Baltimore would beat them by a touchdown. But I'm perfectly willing to be wrong. I mean, the 49ers have more to explain struggling twice against Arizona. Arizona is just a weird, bad team that knows how to play the 49ers. Baltimore's just better.
The 49ers had more yards per play, more passing yards per play, more total yards per play. They were 4 rushing yards shy of equaling the Ravens' total on 9 fewer rushing attempts. They had a better day on the ground per average. They had twice the penalties. The Ravens only had 3. They doubled them up with 6.
Both quarterbacks fumbled, neither threw a pick.
I think it's more even than anyone wants to admit.
I do too, and I really think it's Ray's second point. I think the kicker is the bigger difference.
888-957-9570. We're about to go to the phones. Let's quickly give you a 49er injury update. Day-to-day, Jaquiski Tartt, rib fracture. Richard Sherman, his knee sprain, which I thought in the moment was a meniscus at the very least, if not an ACL, MCL, PCL. So I'm thrilled that it's not that. He was laying on that ground for a little too long for comfort.
Well, not to interrupt, but on that point, Shanahan said today that a normal guy, he would hold out this week. I think this is a suggestion that they regard this as an enormous game, and he might have to play at less than 100%.
There you go. DJ Jones, ankle sprain, also day-to-day. Hopeful for the Saints game. D. Ford, who's been resting that hammy. Matt Breida, obviously his ankle kept him out. Staley, his finger. By the way, Brunskill? Didn't say your name once all day. Great job.
Really good.
Dante Pettis likely out, maybe of the NFL soon enough. Julian Taylor, elbow ligament damage. We'll see what happens there.
That's a bummer because he made a couple plays.
And yeah. Dante Pettis will play somewhere again. He just won't play here.
888-957-9570. Drop of the hat, Matt, in San Francisco. Good name.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
And that was a hell of a game. I agree on a lot of all three you guys say. I just want to, first with Damon, right? The 49ers didn't go in there with a defensive plan where, like when you guys had Ian Williams on the guest line, in order to beat a quarterback like Jackson, you got to hit him, you got to send a blitz, and you got to have somebody stay back on him, and you got to have a blitz, get the running back. I've never seen that. It really shocked me that they didn't do that, right? If you got to hit the quarterback, you don't. They was getting 8-9 yards every first down. I mean, I'm surprised the Niners played that well on defense when they were giving up that much yards. And then for Cole, I strongly believe that game was just pretty much a preview of what can happen in the Super Bowl, because if the 49ers go out and win the next 4 games, that game don't really matter. And then with Ray, I kind of agree with you with Kyle Shanahan. If he was just an offensive coordinator, I think he would have played more of his mindset would have been more of attack than being conservative on the halftime going for the field goal. That's my take.
Thank you very much. Drop of the hat, Matt. Now, maybe the offensive coordinator wouldn't care as much, but the head coach does have to care
more. The head coach has the last say. So, that's a... You
know. Well, Andy, and that's part of his responsibilities is to worry about what might happen on the other end if things don't go especially well. Just quickly, I don't think blitzing Lamar Jackson is the answer because, generally speaking...
It's the answer to the question, do you want him to rush for 140 or 90?
Yeah, I look, it looks bad when the quarterback, if you ignore names and you see quarterback 16 carries, 101 yards, you're thinking that wasn't great. When it happens the way it happened yesterday, I think you're just thinking Lamar Jackson is unbelievably good.
He makes coaches think too much. He makes players think too much. That's why he's as good as he is.
Yeah. And, you know, the Ravens tried to make Jimmy Garoppolo think too much. He was blitzed on 21 of 26 dropbacks, and all things considered,
pretty good.
I thought he handled it pretty well.
Yeah. No, Garoppolo wasn't bad at all. The 49ers did not fail here. They got outplayed.
Yeah. Right. That's why not all losses are equal.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, look, if they had left the ball on the ground three times and lost by a field goal, they'd be lucky as hell. But they played about as well as they're capable of playing against that team.
Black Lion, San Jose, you're on 95.7 The Game. What do you got?
Well, first of all, I like your show. I love your show. I love your station.
Thank you.
Especially your show in the morning, no offense. But you guys got to remember, a few years ago, there was a team that was 16-0, and everybody saying they were going to win the Super Bowl. It's not about winning the last four games of the season. It's about getting this coach not to blow it. He choked when he was in Atlanta. He's going to choke again. It's hard to watch this game when you know they should go for it. You're 4th-and-1, and you want to pass the goddamn ball when you could run over.
He threw for He threw successfully on 2 fourth downs earlier in the game. And if people are going to keep criticizing that play call, you have to acknowledge that he has successfully thrown the ball on 4th-and-short over and over again.
I think, but the point that I will, I'm not disagreeing with you. But the point that the caller was trying to make that I'll emphasize too, I think, all week and for the rest of December, be who you are.
Sure.
The 49ers are a running team getting 6 yards a pop on 4th-and-1 on a...
If it was just Kyle Shanahan, maybe you could say, well, it's kind of a crackpot idea by a guy who's normally not a crackpot. But other guys are doing this, including Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, maybe this is something that coaches are starting to see and acting on. You might not like it. But this might be a form of new thinking that they're onto that the rest of us aren't.
The Ravens did two things yesterday that I think they executed better than any other Niners opponent so far this year. They maintained who they were. They played to their strength through the entire game. In every scenario, it's we're going to go down with our guy.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is our guy. Our guy is the guy we're going to ask to make the play in any and all plays that need to be made. And they did a better job of handling it. Well,
you know what, though? Look, they don't. The Niners don't have a Lamar Jackson.
No, they don't. But when it comes to Nick Bosa, they did a better job saying he's not going to be the one than any other team's been able to do. And we saw other guys get off, but they decided Nick Bosa's not beating us today. And I don't think he registered a tackle.
One tackle.
It's a rough day for Nick Bosa, whose name is not Joey, which, by the way, was said like 14 times in the broadcast.
Yeah. No, but I think that's one of the great advantages that Baltimore has, is that it can define who it is on any given play because they have the one quarterback who's as good a running threat as he is a passing threat.
Yeah, and the sack.
Which means that their philosophy is Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
And it's not Lamar Jackson makes every play, but he gets to decide how every play is made. And that might seem trite with most quarterbacks, but Aaron Rodgers has not beaten you with his feet.
Not
Jimmy
anymore.
Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to beat you with his feet.
No, and maybe more to the point, Lamar Jackson, like you said, he's that guy. Like, who are we? We're the guys who roll with Lamar Jackson. And if you ask who are the Niners, all our answers are defensive right now. There isn't a guy. And what a great day Raheem Mostert had, and congratulations to him. But he's not that guy.
We're talking to him tomorrow at 5 o'clock, by the way.
And I hope he doesn't listen, because I don't want him to think I'm saying anything bad about him. He had a great game, but he's not that guy.
Oh, I mean, we're not having him on to talk about the Ravens game. Indiana won the Oaken Bucket over Purdue this weekend.
Oh, you're just going to talk trash.
It's a 14-minute dressing down of a Boilermaker tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
So do we even need to bother?
No,
you and I are done at 5 tomorrow. Yeah.
You guys can drink Boilermakers while I interview a Boilermaker.
Well, you're a little late with that news. I've been hammered since 11.
Damon, handsome name, in Oakland. Hello, Damon.
Damon, what's up, man? Big fan, listen all the time. Our mothers would be high-fiving. I'm actually going to piggyback on Kolsky's comment. I don't think you should really question the play call. Sure, it's hindsight 2020. A run would have been nice. But the key is the formation. You know, simply setting up in a under-the-center formation, a run-like formation, that allows all the defensive linemen to crash and to dive. They're not standing up with their hands up knocking that ball down. I think that's really kind of the turning point in that critical fourth and one play.
Yeah, no, thanks. It's again, we're offering very hindsight is 2020 observations here. And
well, and just in general, these are nitpicks because they played pretty darn well in a really tough spot.
It was good. It was a good game. Like I walked away saying that was an A-plus football game. And people are, well, the Niners lost. It can't be an A-plus. No, it can still be an A-plus football game.
That was great. It was great entertainment, and this is why fans – that's why I'm not a fan.
The Niners
– if I was committed to either team, that's not enjoyable for me. It's way too weird, angst-laden nonsense. It's 3 hours of fun.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations, Matt. The Bears didn't ruin your Thanksgiving, and they didn't ruin mine.
You know, they still didn't affect it positively.
No, but they didn't outright ruin it.
That's right.
Turkey's dry.
Small victories, baby.
Wait a minute. At this point in your life.
No, you're right. It's our fault.
Yeah. That's not what I was going to say. They can't ruin your life.
No, they can't.
They've already established that long ago, and it's your job to adjust to the fact that you picked the wrong team.
Yeah, you'd think like newborn sons being surrounded by family on holidays would help? No.
No.
It's just, I mean, you chose poorly. And you can unchoose. This is still, at least to a certain extent, America.
By the way, it is the holiday season.
You can have other teams.
And I do. They lose to the Warriors.
888-957-9570. We're out of here in just a matter of minutes. We're going to have to leave some people on hold. I hate to do it. Let's go to Aaron in San Jose. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thank you. What do you got real quick?
Hey, you guys are the best. I just wanted to mention one thing to Ray, especially. You know, I don't disagree with you, but you know what, Ray? Don't forget, these guys are missing D. Ford, one of their best defensive playmakers, a guy that averages a sack a game. So Lamar's great. I love the kid, but these announcers and media are just getting a lot of people sour at him because they're crowning him like he's done something like Brady has. That's all I got to say, guys, but don't forget, we get D. Ford back next week. I feel sorry for the Saints.
Yeah, look, I would like to see this game played with D. Ford out there and maybe in some conditions that don't make – Who got crossovered by Iverson there? Was that
Jordan?
Kwan? Kwan Williams?
Oh, Kwan Williams.
Yeah, Williams just got.
I thought you were looking for the actual basketball reference.
No. He had Lamar Jackson put a move on him that I don't think you've ever seen from a quarterback before. We've seen that juke on a football field a million times, just never from a quarterback.
And here's the good news.
Not even Michael Vick, for goodness sake.
If you see that guy again this year, it's going to be in a really nice, sunny stadium.
And he'll do the same thing to him, only they won't get wet when it happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in today. I wish we had more time. We'll have a full 4-hour show for you tomorrow. Stick around. Warriors Live is right around the corner. John Dickinson coming on in here with Matt Kolsky to get you ready. Warriors at the Atlanta Schlenks.
Correct.
Yeah, so here we go. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We'll be back with a full show. Awesome guest, Peter King, Michael Irvin. We've got Raheem Mostert tomorrow. It's going to be a great show. In the meantime, stay tuned. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.